Welcome to
Aprender Inglés con Reza y Craig.
That was Craig, and I'm
Reza.
This is episode 130. If you're a new listener, you're very welcome to this award-winning podcast. Craig and I have over 40 years of teaching experience between us, so we hope we can help you improve your English and take it to the next level. In this episode, we're going to help you improve your marketing vocabulary. So get ready for some blue space thinking.
What's that?
Blue space thinking? Blue space, the sky, the sky's the limit. Blue space.
Is that a marketing?
There are no limits. It's a marketing expression.
That's a marketing expression.
Blue space thinking.
I didn't know that. I've learned something already and we haven't even started. Before we do start, though, we have some audio feedback from Maria Jose, who comes from Córdoba.
Hello, guys. This is Maria Jose from Córdoba. Sorry, I'm really nervous. This is my first time here. I would say thank you so much for your podcast. I am studying English. This is my third year in the official school of language in Córdoba, and your podcasts are very useful for me. I tend to listen to the podcasts every week, 4 or 5 times, because they are a bit difficult to understand everything, but I try. Nothing else. Good job, and thank you again. Bye.
Thank you, Maria Jose, for taking the time to send us a lovely voice message, which we enjoyed very much.
I don't know why you were so nervous. Your pronunciation was really good. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Just one thing, though, Craig. One thing we noticed that wasn't so well pronounced was the same mistake from last week, if you recall, studying. So that's 2 weeks in a row now. You said studying or something like that. Studying. You are studying.
Just open your mouth really wide and you need to make the a sound, the same sound as up. So a, study, study, studying. Yeah, thank you very much for your message. We're very pleased you're listening. And one of my favorite places in Spain is Córdoba.
Oh, I've never been. What's it like?
Oh, it's beautiful. It's smaller than Granada, but it has a charm because of the Arab influences before and the buildings that are still around in Córdoba. It's a beautiful, beautiful city. So you definitely have to go.
One of these days I'll go. Mm-hmm. I'll go. Maybe I'll meet you there, Maria Jose. It'll be fun.
We also have some listener feedback from Maite, who says, "Hi, Craig. First of all, I have to say that your English podcasts are by far the best. Thank you very much."
Well, thank you, Maite.
"I've never seen such magnificent podcasts," says Maite. "Well, I'd like you to teach me vocabulary about marketing issues, because I'm doing a degree in marketing and market research, and I'd want to get more vocabulary skills. That's all, folks. Thanks in advance for being as you are." Thank you, Maite. What do you think, Reza?
Maite, your wish is our command. You want vocabulary on marketing? You're going to get it.
It's also one of my favorite subjects. So I've taken some things from the internet that speak about marketing. For example, Wikipedia says marketing is the study and management of exchange relationships, which isn't necessarily a negative thing, is it? I mean, does that give you a good or a bad feeling about marketing, the fact that it's just exchange relationships?
No, that's in principle, that's a good idea. I'm all for that. Later, we'll talk about it in practice, though.
Okay, we'll save that for our discussion at the end. Also, I found this description. Marketing is activities of a company associated with buying and selling a product or service. I think I agree with that. People who work in marketing try to get the attention of target audiences by using slogans, packaging design, celebrity endorsements, and general media exposure. Any comments?
No, that sounds like a good description to me. I would agree with all of that.
Let's just look at some of this vocabulary, though. Slogans, a slogan of a company. For example, Google, their slogan is do no evil, I think.
Yes.
Nike's slogan, just do it. That's the slogan of a company.
What does that say to you, just do it? To me, it says bugger all, I have to tell you. No me dice nada, but maybe I'm cynical. Sorry, matey. What does just do it say to you?
It means go exercise. It means don't think. Go and enjoy yourself. Live the moment. Live the dream.
Yeah.
Just do it. I really like it.
But above all, buy our products.
Well, we'll save that for the discussion. Otherwise, we won't get to the vocabulary. Celebrity endorsements. When celebrities say that they use a product, for example, when...
If a couple of famous podcasters were to endorse a Skype English lesson website, I would consider that perfectly bona fide and respectable. What about you?
Well, except the fact that we're not necessarily celebrities. I mean,
let's not get into that. The word celebrity is relative.
Okay, but imagine Brad Pitt uses a particular shampoo. And he says it's fantastic shampoo, then he is endorsing that product. He's saying, I use it, I like it, it's good. And obviously, everybody wants to look like Brad Pitt. All the men want to look like Brad Pitt. So you use that shampoo in the hope that you have hair like Brad Pitt, I suppose.
I use a particular shampoo that's really expensive, but I like to buy it. Do you know why?
Why?
Because I'm worth it.
It's not L'Oreal by any chance.
Porque yo lo valgo.
See, that's a slogan. That's L'Oreal's slogan, which obviously works because you remembered it and you used it on the podcast. So it's a good slogan.
By the way, L'Oreal, don't pay us any money. Don't for a minute think that we're making any money by telling you certain company slogans. We are not.
Are you in a shampoo company sponsoring a podcast that you can't even see the hosts? Marketing is everything a company does to acquire customers and maintain a relationship with them. Acquire means to get, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. So it's everything a company does to get more customers and build and keep a good relationship, a positive relationship with them. Again, I think not necessarily a bad thing so far. Even like when you write a thank you letter to a customer, or you return a phone call or an email, or you maybe meet with clients for coffee. Anything like this is building a relationship. It can be thought of as marketing. So, for example, if somebody wants to meet us for coffee who likes our podcast and we meet them for coffee, is that marketing to you?
No, I don't think so. It's showing appreciation of them enjoying our product. But since we don't make any money out of them, we can't really call it marketing because we stand to gain nothing. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
By the way, Craig and I have met people for coffee.
Yeah, we met Mammon, didn't we?
Yeah, we've met Mammon and a few other people we've met who happened to be passing
Javier,
through Valencia.
We met Javier from Valencia as well.
We've met people by chance occasionally in the street. Mm-hmm. People who live in Valencia, and they said, oh, are you Resident Craig? Occasionally it happens.
Yeah. So I suppose it's really the goal or the idea behind what you're doing, your behavior, that makes it marketing or not marketing.
It's not like bumping into George Clooney and having an espresso. It's not quite the same experience, neither physically nor in any other way. Although Craig is a very good looking guy. But not quite George Clooney, I guess.
No, not quite. As much as I drink Nespresso coffee, I haven't yet got to look anything like George Clooney. The ultimate goal of marketing is to match a company's products and services to the people who need and want them. So you're matching people to products and services, thereby ensuring profitability. So as a result of matching people to products, you are making money. I think I agree with that too.
Yeah. Shall we get cracking on with some useful vocabulary?
Yes, let's look at some vocabulary connected to marketing.
Let's start with probably the single most important concept for any marketing expert, the brand, the make, the label, la marca.
That can be confusing because what's the difference between brand and make? Because I think in Spanish it's marca for both of them.
Mm. Like I would say make is for bigger things, big objects, like a make of car, a make of fridge, you know, whereas brand is for clothes or stereos or things like that. What would you say?
I don't necessarily agree. I think it doesn't really matter like the size of the company or the size of the product. It's make is only part of the brand. For example, when you think of Ford, the motor company, that's a make of car. Ford makes cars, so Ford is a make. But if you think of the brand Ford, what color do you think of? Is there a color that comes to mind when you think of Ford?
No. For you, is there?
Blue, because that's the color of their logo.
Okay.
What about McDonald's? What color do you think of with McDonald's?
Red.
Red, exactly. Coca-Cola?
Red.
Red. When you think of McDonald's, you think of a clown, probably. That's also part of their brand.
Yeah.
The fact that it's fast food, the fact that it's cheap. Everything that comes together inside is the brand, is the branding. Label.
Etiqueta. So sometimes companies distinguish a certain product from their range, their variety, su gama range, as, you know, the black label. Mm-hmm. Johnny Walker black label, better than the whatever, yellow label, for example. The mm-hmm. black label, Pata Negra, you know, the top of the range.
Pata Negra is the label of good quality ham, isn't it? Like, Serrano ham.
That's kind of label, isn't it? Yeah, like the specific type. You know, and there are better labels and cheaper labels.
Yeah, there are high-class labels, expensive labels of clothes, for example, and there are cheaper labels. And, of course, the actual etiqueta, the piece of material inside a shirt or a jacket or a pair of trousers is also the label on the clothes.
You say inside, yeah. Later we can talk about labels on the outside, which you see these days as well.
I bet that annoys you.
Yeah, of course. Have you ever seen me wear something with a label outside except inglespodcast.com? Not often.
No, not often.
I really hate labels to be seen on my clothes. It's something I don't like.
Me too.
Marketing people listening to me, you must hate me. I don't like the displaying labels at all.
It's free advertising. It's free advertising. And the people who buy your product or service are called consumers. So you often hear the expression consumer goods. Goods are bienes. So consumers, the person who buys the product or service, the customer or the client. Distribution. How would you describe distribution?
Well, that's delivering the product to the customer. Mm-hmm. Whatever way you do that. It could be in a lorry taking it to their door, or it could be through electricity cables to get into your house.
Right. So you could distribute something by internet. You could distribute it by land, by sea. Global distribution means you distribute your product or service worldwide throughout the world.
People are talking about in the future the possibility of distribution by drones.
Especially Amazon, I think, are experimenting with drone delivery in some states in America.
I can't imagine that, pardon the pun, really taking off.
That's a terrible joke.
I can't imagine it really becoming successful taking off.
I think drones are really taking off.
Yeah. No, but seriously, joking apart, because to take off obviously means despegarse, but it also means tener éxito. I don't think it will, because what if everybody in a small area wanted something delivered by drone that day? They'd be crashing into each other.
Not necessarily, as long as they're well coordinated. I mean, can you imagine how many aeroplanes take off and land in airports like Heathrow or Charles de Gaulle in Paris or Barajas in Madrid? I mean, so many aeroplanes are crossing each other in the skies, but they're well coordinated. And now we have driverless cars with sensors and they can detect cars near them. Why can't you have that on drones so that they do not crash into each other? It's possible.
Okay, it's true.
The end user, E-N-D-U-S-E-R, the end user is the person, the customer, who is the ultimate user of a product. So the real person who receives the product at the end user. So if you drink Johnny Label, Black if you drink Johnny Label Black Walker, you're already pissed.
Yeah, you drink too much.
If you drink Johnny Walker Black Label, you are the end user of that product.
What about e-commerce and e-marketing? What does that mean, Craig?
E-commerce is buying and selling products or services over the internet. So the E before commerce just means that it's done on the internet. And the same with marketing. The promotion of products and services over the internet is e-marketing. E-marketing.
Like emails, electronic mails. Spanish people often say, te voy a mandar un mail, okay? I'm going to send you an email. But if you say I'm going to send you a mail, that's wrong in English. It's a typical mistake. The E is necessary to show that it's electronic, online. So anything E is online, electronic.
The word launch is very popular. L-A-U-N-C-H, to launch a product or a product launch. Launch is lanzar. So when you're ready to take your product to market, you launch it.
Craig, how did you launch the very first podcast of Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig? Can you remember how we launched it?
We launched it obviously in iTunes in the beginning, but I don't remember announcing it or having a special launch.
Surely, though, you used the Mansión Inglés to launch the product. You used that as your platform to get a little bit of publicity before we started, no?
I think we mentioned it. We wrote about it in the Cuaderno Mensual, the monthly newsletter on Mansión Inglés that you can sign up for at mansioningles.com. So we did mention it in the newsletter, and also on Facebook and Twitter. So many companies do that. They launch a product on social media, so using social media to make people aware of a product launch.
And what is a Mansión Inglés? Some people might be thinking who've never heard of it before listening. I'll tell you what it is. It's the ideal place to learn a very comprehensive course of English free online. That's what it is.
What Rez is doing now is called product placement. He's using a fantastic opportunity to tell you about something you might be interested in just in the flow of normal conversation. So Reza's doing product placement for our website, mansioningles.com.
And Craig now owes me 10 euros for telling you that. No, he doesn't have to.
Or a bottle of Johnny Walker, Johnny Label
Black Walker. Black Walker, Johnny Black.
Yeah, a bottle of Johnny Label Black Walker. Market research.
Very important for marketing. You've got to do your research. Find out who's the potential customer, what do they want, when do they want it, how do they want it, how much are they going to spend, are they going to buy it, all of that.
Notice that Reza used do research, not make. That's another common mistake by Spanish speakers. You do research, you do market research before you launch a product to find out if it's going to be successful, what kind of people would be interested in your product. So you send questionnaires and you ask people to find, to get information before you launch a product. Market niche. Is it niche or niche? I think it's niche for British speakers.
Yeah.
Market niche. Small but profitable segment. Segment is segmento of a market in which a company is a specialist. For example, Reza and I are teaching English at the moment. We're teaching very general English on this podcast. But if we wanted a particular market niche in the English teaching area, perhaps we would only do a podcast about passing the FCE exam. Or perhaps only do a podcast about how to pass a job interview. So that's an idea of a niche of a market.
If you are only interested in the first certificate exam, I would recommend buying either the CD or downloading the Mansión Inglés first certificate. Complete course. Would you, Craig?
Yeah, I think that's quite a good idea, Ezra. Thank you for that product placement in this podcast. We're really going full out here on our marketing in this podcast on marketing.
I have to pay. Craig pays me commission. I have to sell as many as possible.
When we first started, when the Mansion Inglés first started back in 2001, teaching English online, we had a very, very big market share, which means that in the market of teaching English online, we had a big percentage of people using our service. However, over the years, because of competition, more companies, more websites teaching English online, the market share is getting smaller and smaller and smaller and smaller, because competition naturally gives you a smaller percentage of the market. So market share, the amount of percentage of the market that you are successful in. Inbound marketing?
I have no idea what it means.
Inbound marketing. Well, I wasn't sure. I had to check it. Inbound marketing is marketing activities that bring your visitors in. So you don't necessarily go out and advertise for customers. The customers come into you. For example, if you have an English teaching website, let's use English as an example. Maybe you have a blog and you give advice on your blog, useful advice, useful information. People searching for it will come to you to read your advice. And then if they're interested in your products, they'll buy it. That's different to going on Google or going on Facebook and paying money to advertise your product. So you're bringing people in because you're offering value. That's inbound marketing, as far as I understand it. So, mate, if you don't agree with that, you may have a better explanation than I do. Please let me know. But I think that's inbound marketing.
Craig, the next term is another term I'm not quite sure about. What about engagement rate?
Engagement rate. Well, that's the amount of engagement you're getting for something you're doing, usually on the internet. For example, people know about Facebook. You know that if you put a very intelligent, long, detailed description in text on Facebook, probably not many people are going to read it, and fewer people are going to share it with their friends. So the engagement rate is low. However, if you film your cat doing something silly, everybody loves it, it's a cat, they'll share it with all their friends. The engagement rate is high. So it's how people engage with your video, your post, your audio, your text, your blog, and then share it with their contacts. Keywords. Do you know what keywords are? Because
yes,
we use them every week with the podcast.
Yeah, keywords are the topics that web pages get indexed for in search results by engines like Google. Mm-hmm. You type in keywords. For example, you put in best English podcast and Aprender Inglés con Resi Craig comes up. You didn't know about this before, but if you put in best English podcast, that's what comes up. We hope. We're not sure.
Yeah, so imagine you're mate and you want to do research on marketing in English or English words in marketing. The words you put in Google are your keywords. So it makes sense for me to give a title to this podcast, Marketing or Market Research in English, so that when Maita's looking for a podcast like this, she can find it easily. Product range or product line. So you use L'Oreal shampoo. Let's give them a free advertisement.
Because I'm worth it.
Because you're worth it. We know you're worth it. How many different types of shampoos do you think L'Oreal have? What's their product range, do you think? Mm-hmm. Is it large? Do they have many different types of shampoo or just one?
Oh, many types, because I've tried both normal hair and dry hair, so I know they have at least those two types. Dry hair works best for me. Dry hair with added vitamin D. That's my favorite label.
Jojoba.
Mm.
So L'Oreal have many, many, many different shampoos for different hairs. So they have a very large, extensive product range. Product positioning is another marketing term. Product positioning. That's how you perceive, or that's how you see a product compared to its competition. For example, if I say Ford to you, a Ford car, and if I say Porsche or Mercedes, in your perception, in your mind, can you see a difference between those two brands?
Yeah, I think of more luxury and more quality when I think of Porsche and Mercedes compared to Ford. Although with Ford, I think of good value for money.
Right. So that's the positioning, the product positioning of those two companies. Product placement we've spoken about already.
But just before we go into product placement, mm-hmm. Craig, why don't we tell the listeners about italki?
That's a good idea, because you might be, well, why don't you tell them about italki?
Okay, so before we give you a definition of product placement, we'd just like to tell you about italki. Craig and I recommend italki for one-to-one classes. How do you do it? Well, it's a website. You get in touch with them on their webpage, and you basically look for a teacher, a one-to-one teacher. All you need is Skype. It's effective, it's personal, and they can guarantee you that you'll get a native speaker as your teacher. Who will your teacher be? Well, you choose. You can look at the teacher's profile, you can look at their experience, and different teachers charge different amounts according to what they're offering, so you can decide how much you pay. If you're not sure, why don't you check it out? Because if you go via our website, inglespodcast.com/italki, italki will give you 100 free credits, which will be enough to get you one free lesson with them to give it a go. So you've got nothing to lose. Give it a go. If you like it, keep it up. We think it's a very, very good way to find a teacher in the most convenient and flexible timetable for you. Now, Craig, where were we?
Do you remember which film James Bond stopped driving an Aston Martin and started driving a BMW?
Oh, I didn't know he even did.
He did. Sean Connery used to drive an Aston Martin.
Oh, sure. Did Roger Moore not as well?
Yeah.
Roger Moore, up to who? Which one?
I think it was up to Pierce Brosnan. In one of Pierce Brosnan films, he's driving that BMW two-seater sports car that with a remote control.
Right.
That is pure product placement. So BMW paid the people making the film to put that BMW in the film. So he wasn't actually advertising it, but everybody saw James Bond driving a BMW.
Yeah.
So that raises the brand awareness.
Yeah, and I hear that product placement is very common in James Bond films, even for products which are not particularly glamorous. Like, I believe they've received money to place like Heineken beer and things like that. You don't think of, you know, glamorous, you know, international spies drinking Heineken. I know if I was James Bond, I wouldn't drink it. I would drink something more glamorous, but they receive a lot of money, so he drinks a Heineken and that type of thing. I think I know the film, Craig. And Craig is a huge James Bond fan, and I reckon it was Die Another Day.
I think it was, yeah.
Oh, are you impressed on my knowledge?
It was with the huge saw that that cut that wooden house in half on a pier. And I can't remember if it cut the car in half, but the car was moving around there remotely. He was moving it by remote control.
Die Another Day, I think it was.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Anyway, now that we've done product placement, let's go on, Craig. What have we got next?
Corporate image. Corporate image is the way society views a company. Volkswagen had a big problem recently with corporate image when it was shown that they were dishonestly measuring CO2 emissions from their cars. They were deliberately lowering the results of tests from their cars, and their corporate image was really damaged by that. Trademark. What's a trademark?
A trademark is a special symbol or design or even a word that represents a product or a company. For example, Coca-Cola have various trademarks, you know, like that kind of wavy white line on the red background. Only they can use that. They have copyright on that. It's trademark.
Mm-hmm.
or
McDonald's is a clown and
clown. Or there was the famous case of Apple, who had a very lengthy court case with the Beatles over that Apple symbol. So the Beatles are no fans of Apple, I imagine.
And I think over the name Apple as well, which reminds me, speaking of product placement, I don't know, it's really interesting to me to notice in TV series and films where some computers show the Apple logo on a computer, on a laptop, and some computers cover it up. So you can't, it's obviously an Apple computer, but there's a sticker or something on it because Apple haven't paid them to advertise their product. Really interesting.
So just in case you didn't know, all of you guys who have an Apple computer, good for you. I envy you. But just so you know, that Apple and the Beatles hate each other. Just in case you didn't know that, now you do. They really don't like each other. So enjoy listening to the Beatles on your notebook.
Lead, L-E-A-D. Lead is a person or a company who's shown interest in a product or service in some way, shape, or form. Maybe they completed a form, they subscribed to a blog or a podcast, or they shared their contact information in exchange for something. So, for example, if we decide to release an ebook or some small product and say, you can get this free if you sign up on our waiting list for our course, then that would be a lead magnet, something that's, magnet is iman, a lead magnet draws you in to a product or service and shows interest on behalf of the prospective client.
Craig, we've got on our script here a landing page, but I've no idea what it is. You're more technically minded than me. Can you explain, please?
All a landing page is a special page on your website that has a form and some information where people land or people go to when they're interested in a product or service. So say, for example, me and you made a course, an English course, to pass the CAE exam.
Or the first certificate on Mansion English, for example.
Or the first certificate.
A CD or a downloadable version.
Well, no, we don't have a leading page, so it's not a good example. But if we decided to create a course, Craig and Razor's wonderful course for passing proficiency, for example. Mm-hmm. So we've got this course, it's ready, we want to sell it. We say on the podcast, go to inglespodcast.com/proficiency, sign up for our course, which is starting next month. So they go to inglespodcast.com/proficiency. That is the landing page where they can sign up for the course.
Craig, just out of interest, if you were to create a CD for a first certificate course, how much would you charge for it?
Well, we charge for the CD, we charge €34, and for the download direct to your computer is €17.
That's a bargain. That's a bargain. You heard it. €34 for the CD and €17 for the downloadable version of a very complete first certificate course on the Mansion Inglés.
Raises on 10% commission. Conversion rate is another term for marketing. The conversion rate, the percentage of people who completed a desired action on a single web page, such as filling out a form, for example. So if you have a high conversion rate on your website, it's performing very well. But if you have a low conversion rate, you're performing very poorly. And that leads us to our next expression, which is bounce rate. So bounce in Spanish is rebotar. So the bounce rate, the number of people or percentage of people who go to a web page and then leave without clicking on anything on your page or going to another place on your site. So they're bouncing off of your site. So you want your bounce rate to be very, very low, which means people stay on your website. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Let's move on to acronyms, because there are some confusing acronyms in marketing and online marketing. ROI.
Oh, I know that. Republic of Ireland.
No, not for marketing. Close, though. Return on investment. Now, I checked on the internet, and according to my source, the formula for ROI is gain from investment minus cost of investment, which is how much money you get back for your investment on something. For example, if we create our course, Craig and Razor's wonderful way to learn proficiency English, we want to get customers, we want to get clients, we pay Facebook 150 euros to advertise. If we only earn 6 or 7 euros from that investment of 150 euros, then our return on investment is very, very low. We're not making much money, and it costs a lot of money to advertise.
Next, we've got search engine optimization, which is obviously the practice of enhancing where a web page appears in search results. Search engine optimization.
SEO.
I believe you can pay for that.
You can pay people to do it for you, but be careful if you do that. There are some charlatans on the internet. I know it's hard to believe. Charlatan, someone who will trick you and take your money for doing nothing or next to nothing. So people do try to cheat you and get you to pay them to go up in the rankings of Google, for example.
By the way, we have never paid anyone. When you Google us, where we appear is due to the demand for our podcast. We haven't paid anyone to appear there.
Absolutely not. So SEO, search engine optimization, or SEO in Spanish. LTV, I didn't know this. Lifetime value.
Not London television.
Not London television.
It used to be back in the 70s.
LTV. Lifetime value, a prediction of the net profit attributed to the entire future relationship with a customer. So how much your customer will bring in to you in value during the years that that person is a customer, hopefully for life. What's the next one?
We've got CAC, customer acquisition. Sorry, we've got CAC, customer acquisition cost. That means your total sales and marketing cost.
How much it costs you to get a customer. And CTR is the click-through rate, the percentage of your audience that advances or clicks through from one part of your website to the next step of your marketing campaign. So often in marketing, people speak about a funnel, a marketing funnel. F-U-N-N-E-L, which is embudo. So the idea that people go to your website, which is very, very wide, and then gradually you take them down and down and down and down and down through web pages, finally to a page where they buy something.
What's call to action, Craig?
That's something you want your customer, your listener, your visitor to do. For example, at the end of this podcast, sometimes we say, sign up for our email list. That's a call to action. Sometimes we say, hey, send us an email. Tell us what you think. That's a call to action. Anything where you're asking your audience, your customers, your clients to do something. It could be a text link on your website, a button, an image, something that's clickable. Anything that takes your customer to maybe a landing page and become then part of a lead.
Although we are different to many other podcasts or websites in that, on the whole, our call to action won't cost you any money. To subscribe to our podcast or to send us feedback on audio or an email and get it played or read won't cost you any money.
Well, the Patreon sign up costs money.
I said that's, most of ours. Yeah. Patreon is the one exception, yeah.
If you want to support us and join people who are contributing for transcriptions, then that will cost you a dollar a month or a euro per month as a minimum to join our Patreon program. But I think that's the only thing money for.
And the idea of the Patreon is we'll be able to give complete show notes with the money. That's the idea. So we would give you something in return.
I often get confused with B2C, B2B, and those abbreviations. B2C is business to consumer. So companies, businesses, online or offline, who sell to consumers. Examples would be Amazon, Amazon.us, Amazon.com, Apple, Apple Computers, Microsoft. Then there's B2B, which is business to business, and they sell to other businesses. For example, Google. If you buy advertising with Google, then they're selling their advertising space or their links to another business. That's B2B. What's API, Reza?
That's an application programming interface, which is a series of rules in computer programming which allow an application to extract information from a service and use that information either in their own application or in data analyses. It's kind of like a phone for applications to have conversations. For example, the English podcast app in iTunes or Android is an API.
Yeah, so if you want to listen to us with an app on your phone, on both iOS and on Android, you can download the app from the App Store in Apple or from Google Play Store on Android phones, and you can get our app to listen to your podcast. So we have an API which helps you listen to the podcast on your phone.
It's interesting we got that on our list because these days, more and more, it's almost impossible to disentangle IT from marketing. Because really, we said we'd be talking about marketing, but it's ended up getting very techie. Mm-hmm. It's inevitable these days. We're talking about an application programming interface. Whereas marketing experts 30 years ago wouldn't have been interested in such things. But now they inevitably must be.
Well, people don't really knock on doors that much exactly. These days, do they? You don't get the salesman knocking on people's doors, putting his or her foot in the door to sell you a vacuum cleaner or sell you life insurance. More and more and more business seems to be done on the internet these days. So naturally, it's turning more technological.
Does that annoy you, Craig? What's the most annoying thing that marketers do in order to sell you stuff?
Oh, many things annoy me. It annoys me when I get phone calls, telemarketing, people phoning me up, usually when I'm eating, to try and sell me something that I've got absolutely no interest in. And people complain about Google placing ads and going inside your privacy. I quite like that. I quite like that when I go to my computer, I see an advertisement about something I'm interested in. I've got absolutely no interest when somebody phones me from Ono advertising a different telephone company, for example. Another thing that annoys me, those paper flyers on the windscreen of the car, people who put pieces of paper not only in your postbox that you don't want, but also on the windscreen of your car, under your windscreen wiper. Why do that? I have to take it out, then I have to look for somewhere to throw it away because I don't want to be a bad citizen and throw it on the floor. That really annoys me.
Yeah, me too.
What annoys you about marketers?
Well, to be honest, I don't really like Google thinking that they know about me. So precisely what you like is what I don't like, because they nearly always get it wrong. You know, I often get on my emails pop-ups advertising the British Council. I don't want to be a student at the British Council. I work there. But Google have figured out my connection with the British Council.
So, because you're Googling a lot of British Council services.
So they keep advertising it for me. You know, it's like they think they know me, but they don't really.
Do you shop on Amazon a lot?
In my entire life, I've bought 2 books on Amazon. Because I absolutely had to. On principle, I try not to. Are we allowed to do this? Are we allowed to say this in the podcast? Is this anti-advertising? I don't know. I try to avoid Amazon if I can.
See, that maybe is why I shop a lot on Amazon. So most of, I'd say 95% of the advertisements I see from Google are from searches I've done inside Amazon.
Right.
That's interesting. I'm going to list some advertising methods, and I'd like you to tell me what you would take notice of, like what would maybe get your attention with these different ways of advertising. Website banners, email spam, phone calls, telemarketing, as I mentioned before, street advertising, that means advertisements on bus stops, on waste paper baskets, on huge advertising hoardings and banners on the motorway or on the street, TV radio commercials, flyers on your car, as I mentioned before, pieces of paper in your postbox, advertisements in magazines and newspapers, word of mouth, people telling you, the pre-roll ads on YouTube. So you go to watch a video and you see the advertisements before you watch your video. And podcast advertisements like we do for iTalki. Which of those would you take notice of? Which of those would grab your attention more than others, do you think?
For me, without any doubt, the one that grabs my attention more than any other is the pre-roll ads on YouTube, but in a negative way. I don't know anybody who doesn't get annoyed at them when I want to watch something on YouTube and something entirely different comes up, usually really loud, and I wasn't expecting it, and I have to turn the volume down. Does anybody like that? How could you like that? It's an annoyance. It's a thing that popped up that you didn't want to see. I don't know why YouTube let it happen. It just annoys me. I think, whatever this is, I don't bloody want it. It's annoying.
Do they annoy you more than the ads on TV?
I don't watch ads on TV. I turn over.
Really?
I'm one of these people.
So what annoys you most about the YouTube ads is that you can't turn over. You can't ignore them. Sometimes you can skip them. You can...
After five
after
or six
three
seconds. And I begrudge those 3 seconds. That they really annoy me.
3 seconds of your life you're not going to get back.
It annoys me, yeah.
Why do you think marketing has become so much more important in recent years? Do you think it has? Do you think marketing is more important?
Oh, yeah, yeah. Basically, you can't have an ugly, shy, badly dressed person in any position of power these days. Doesn't look good. Mm-hmm. Which I think is kind of sad. I have a soft spot for ugly, badly dressed, shy people. I always have. Maybe because I'm one myself. I have a soft spot for people like that. And in this day of marketing, people like that are never given jobs in responsible places and things like that, which I find really sad. And I partly blame it on our obsession with marketing. Giving an image. It's all about image.
But realism has never really been part of advertising, has it? Even if you go back to the 60s and 70s, the ads we were seeing in television, on magazines, listening to on the radio, they weren't realistic. They were sending us dreams, better versions of ourselves.
Oh, but I'm not talking about that. Of course, that's been like that since probably 200 years ago, I would say. Well, certainly at least since newspapers have existed, that's been unreal. You know, advertising on buses in the 1920s was already unreal before TV had been invented. I'm not talking about that for products. I'm talking about the fact now that, you know, someone like Donald Trump can get to where he is. It's because he's created an image for himself. You know, it's all about image. He's got the money to create the image. Whereas I believe in the past, it was easier to advance yourself out of pure merit. But now I think it's image. I think merit is important, but image is such an important part now. Like, become a world leader, something like that. If you don't have a good image, it's not going to happen. Whereas in the past, you know, certain shy, retiring, not particularly good-looking people did get into positions of power. But now that seems very unlikely. Mm-hmm. If you haven't got the image, you don't make it. I find that sad.
Yeah.
Would you agree?
Yeah, I agree with that. I think that's very true, unfortunately. But then Donald Trump owns a media machine. So, of course, he's going to be promoting himself with it.
Yeah. So that's the aspect which I find a bit irritating. Marketing used for reasons of political kind of manipulation and all that. I don't mind it for commercial activities because it's always been that way. But I do feel sad that, you know, politicians and people like that now depend so much on marketing. That bothers me a bit, you know. It's almost, I mean, God, let's be honest. Would anybody be offended if I said this? I'm sure Alfredo wouldn't, our friend Italy. Berlusconi, what did he say? Didn't say anything, didn't do anything. It's just that he sold some kind of crazy image, which at first worked.
But he owned most of the media in Italy.
Exactly.
He owned the newspapers. He owned the television channels.
And surprise, surprise, he got into power. We got to know him a little bit. And hey, 5 years later, we discovered that he was a bit crazy, had nothing useful to say, and was very probably a paedophile. But he sold an image. And at first, it worked. Eventually, you see through the image. But at first, it worked. Mm-hmm. And if we weren't so image conscious, he would never have got into power. But he did get into power because of image, because he owned the bloody TV.
Well, as we're recording this, we're just before the US elections with with Trump and Clinton. I only hope that that doesn't repeat itself and we end up with Trump as the leader of the free world.
But it kind of is. I mean, Berlusconi did it in Italy. It's like, say crazy things, sexist things, racist things, show off your stupidity, and people kind of applaud it. It has already happened with Berlusconi. Trump's not the first to do it.
Because people want entertainment more than logic, common sense. Yeah. They prefer videos of kittens than well-written articles that they have to read.
In other words, that's
the way the world is.
In other words, they want the image before the substance. And yeah. I wish people would want the substance more for important things, like, you know, who's going to be your next president. Sure, for commercial products, it doesn't really matter. Who cares? Because they're all very similar. But who's going to lead the free world? That's important. We shouldn't vote for it just on image. And, you know, there are marketing experts behind that, and I wish they wouldn't do it. I'm not having a go at you. I'm not criticizing you, might they? I'm sure you're a perfectly responsible marketing expert, but there are some out there who are not. No, might they? It's true, isn't it?
Let us know what you think. Any more questions, topics, Reza, that you'd like to...
Yes, as I'm kind of repeating myself, but I really object to councils, ayuntamientos, and government spending money just to say, we're doing a really good job. Look what we've done. For me, I consider that a waste of money.
But that's raising their brand image.
Yeah, but they shouldn't, because it's public money. But I have to pay for it. They're using my money on their own marketing. Sure, private companies can spend whatever money they want on marketing. That's their business. But don't spend my money on marketing just telling me how good you are. Spend it on campaigns to get things done. Don't say, hey, the Generalitat has done this. Aren't we fantastic? You know, avanzamos.
Do they do that?
Yeah, they do.
Where do they advertise?
All over the place, but much less than they used to. But,
what advertising methods and systems do they use? This is
TV, internet-based? Radio, internet, magazines, newspapers.
Buses?
Buses are telling you about all the great things they do. And it costs money to do that. Money which could be spent on other things.
Good point. I like that. Anything else?
Yeah, I have a question for you. Is sponsorship of major events really necessary, or just purely self-interested marketing for the sponsors? I mean, like Coca-Cola advertising.
Can you repeat the question?
Is sponsorship of major events like the Olympics or a World Cup or something like that really necessary, or just purely self-interested marketing for the sponsor?
It's both.
Okay. I agree, by the way. Yeah.
It's both. And I spoke on my other podcast, Enclave the Podcast, with Pilar Oti, about a recent conference I went to in Malaga, which was a podcasting conference for Spanish podcasters. It was a wonderful event. Thoroughly, thoroughly enjoyed it. They had sponsors. The conference was free. If they hadn't had those sponsors, they wouldn't have been able to have the conference and offer educational programs for free. So, of course, they're really important for events like that, where they get money from companies to sponsor their products. And the companies that sponsor, they get the advantage of advertising their product to a very niche audience. So the kind of sponsors at this conference were podcast hosting services, online places where that would help your podcast. It's also very common to have, for example, microphone companies sponsoring podcasting conferences. So, of course, they get a great advantage because they're advertising directly to their target audience. So, yeah, I think it's good for both sides. Do you remember years ago when cigarette companies used to sponsor sports?
Yeah.
Which is a complete conflict of interest. Why would a cigarette company, such an unhealthy thing, be advertising games of cricket competitions, football competitions? Didn't make sense in those days. But yeah, usually I think it's a good thing. Okay, I think we're going to stop there. For Maite and anyone interested in marketing and market research and this kind of thing, I'm going to put some links to some interesting videos and podcasts on our webpage at inglespodcast.com/130130. So go there for a video and some recommendations of podcasts that I listen to. And I think you'll find them interesting if you're interested in marketing.
So that's it. We've got nothing else to say except thank you for joining us. We have to thank the people who are sponsoring us through Patreon, who are Lara, Carlos, Zara, Mamen, Juan, Sara, Corey, Finneran, Manuel, Jorge, and Raul, Rafael, Daniel, and Manuel. They are our sponsors who are sponsoring us on Patreon with the intention of eventually raising enough money to pay for transcripts. So there's a reason why we ask for their sponsorship. It's not for pure profit.
And another call to action that I'm going to do now. If you have a question for us or an idea for a future episode, or if you want to tell us what really annoys you most about marketing, please send us a voice message at speakpipe.com/inglespodcast. And don't forget, here's product placement, our Tienda de Descargas, where you can find products to download to improve your English, and you can find that at store.mansioningles.net. You can reach me by email at craig@inglespodcast.com.
Or me, reza@belfastreza@gmail.com.
On next week's episode, we're going to speak about ghosts and the supernatural. So you still have time to send us your ghost stories, any supernatural experiences you'd like us to feature on our next podcast. So until next week, it's goodbye from me.
And it's goodbye from me.
The music in this podcast is by Pitts. The track is called See You Later.
We'd just like to tell you about iTalki. Craig and I recommend iTalki. Have to do it without laughing.